You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Celebrations of Christmas and the New Year are times of happiness and great joy. But for many people, the weeks which follow these holidays, like the weeks we are now in, are often filled with worry and anxiety. As people look ahead to the New Year, yellow flags of caution and red flags of imminent crises seem to be popping up all over the place. Recent reports of the rapid rise in the number of embezzled pension funds have obviously increased the anxieties of many retirees. Somber statements made by the president of the World Health Organization that the AIDS epidemic may well end up being the worst plague ever on the face of the earth has struck fear in the lives of millions. As a result, parents are seriously concerned about the health of their children and even their grandchildren. And so one might honestly ask, in these days of increased uncertainty, where can one turn to for hope and encouragement? The voices of even some of the best-known world politicians are pessimistic. Listen to Dr. Arthur Burns, the highly respected and well-known economic advisor to every president from Eisenhower to Kennedy. After serving as ambassador to West Germany and shortly before his recent death, Dr. Burns confessed that there is diminishing trust in all institutions, including the family, the school, the church, and the government. He said people today are wandering. For many, the purpose in life is no longer clear. Thus, while the politically powerful voice notes of pessimism, and while even some spiritual leaders speak about the apocalypse, the words and the wisdom of Joshua, described in the Bible as God's mighty pillar of faith, Joshua's words still remain as reliable counsel that we can turn to for confidence in the coming year. Joshua lived centuries ago, and yet his words have demonstrated their power to provide the solid foundation for the unflagging faith of many generations. The wisdom of Joshua has provided the spiritual insight needed by many floundering societies as they have been forced to chart a tenuous course through the treacherous shoals of social turmoil, economic pessimism, and spiritual dry rot. God's advice and wisdom, given through the lips of Joshua, has been the advice needed by leaders of many past nations and is also applicable to each of our lives as you and I consider the challenges we now face for the coming months. Now, it's not a mere coincidence that the Greek equivalent for the name Joshua is Jesus. As Moses' successor, the task of Joshua was to hold high God's offer of hope and God's promise of salvation. This first Joshua could do no more, however, than merely point to the hope. The second Joshua, or Jesus, he himself was the hope. Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God's long-promised salvation, not only spoke about forgiveness of sin, but this Jesus, the Son of God, offered his own body as a sinless sacrifice on the altar of the crucifixion cross. This perfect offering was accepted by God the Father as a full and complete payment for all our mistakes, failures, and sins. It is this good news of this gospel which offers hope to all God-fearing people, even in our society where worldliness and ungodliness seem to be gaining the upper hand. The hope of Jesus Christ is not some mere esoteric fact of history. It is a sure and certain promise that God is making to you at this hour. Because of Jesus' bloody death on the cross, and because of his innocent sacrifice for all of your sins and all of your mistakes, you today can have new hope and a new start. Your sins have been paid for completely by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hearing these wonderful words of encouragement help all of us to understand why the words of Joshua, one of God's great forerunners of hope, why his words also speak to us and give us encouragement today. Look back. Yes, look back, Joshua said to his people. If you want to have courage for the future, you must see the perfect record of God's love and grace in your life. In his sunset years, filled with experience and tempered with age, Joshua spoke to the leaders gathered at Shechem. His basic words of encouragement flowed from a heart not resting on the hope of what men might accomplish in the future, but on what God had already done for them in the past. And so as you survey the possibilities of 1988 in your life, for the months of January, February, June, and July, don't proceed with pessimism. And don't wonder whether your strength will be adequate or whether God shall provide. The bedrock of your hope is solidly established, not in the future of what might be, but rather upon God's mercy in the past. Reflect on the times that you should have failed, but you didn't. Consider how millions of others have died of starvation in recent years, but the only hunger you have experienced is the discomfort from getting a meal 1 or 2 hours late. World health statistics show that in some countries of the world, the average lifespan is now only 38 years of age. But in many Western countries, it is much longer. For instance, in the United States, by the year of 2000, only 12 short years from now, there will be over 100,000 people over the age of 100. God's love and grace for us is indeed unexplainable. Without the love of God, without the providence of God, you and I would soon dry up and die. We owe our entire existence to God. And when we look back to see this, we will also understand that God shall also see you and me through the troubled waters of 1988. As the aging Joshua spoke these same words of encouragement to a younger generation, no better site could have been selected than Shechem. For it was on this spot that Abraham, as he entered Canaan, had received the first divine promise. And on this same spot, Abraham had built an altar to the Lord. Here also, Jacob had settled after his return from Mesopotamia and purged his household from lingering idolatry. Therefore, this location of Shechem was truly called a sanctuary of Jehovah, and they who came to it gathered before God. In this same way, as you and I face the uncertainties of 1988, and as we hear respected voices raising concerns about imminent calamities involving the horrible life-destroying disease of AIDS, failure of finance due to inflation, spiritual decadence due to widespread indifference to the Word, we also are invited by God, indeed encouraged in the strongest way by Him, to meet with Him in His sanctuary. This is the advice Joshua gave also to his people, and his words remain our help even today. And so as you face the coming year, reject all temptations of spiritual laziness. Instead, arrange for you and your entire family to go regularly to God's house for worship. Each week, attend a church where the mercy of God in Jesus Christ is the center of all proclamation and worship. And, following the example of Joshua, go to God's sanctuary so that you can look back to see God's blessings and also to receive encouragement and strength to move ahead. For when you look back to focus on God's grace, you shall surely see the mercies that God has provided in your life, beginning already in your grade school years. Surely God also held your hand later on as you navigated through the treacherous rocks and temptations of your teenage times. Oh, has not God provided house and home, food and drink, protection, and encouragement even when you did not request it? And all these blessings come in our lives from God's divine mercy, without any merit or worthiness within us, for all which it is our duty to thank and to praise Him alone. Yes, my friend, indeed, the life ahead may be truly uncertain, and yet when we heed the advice of Joshua and look back and recount our blessings, our heart is filled, yea, even overflowing with gratitude as we understand by faith that it was not our virtue or our godly activities which have gotten us this far. Instead, we can only repeat the words of the hymn writer who wrote, "The Lord hath helped us hitherto." Gathering then each week in God's sanctuary, just as Joshua gathered the people at Shechem, is more than merely an exercise in man-centered religiosity. Indeed, it is much more. It is the opportunity to thank and to praise God for His goodness and mercy. And it is also that time when God plants deep within our hearts His living Word, His endless strength, His unwavering hope and courage for the future. Joshua's advice to our generation to look back and to recount God's many acts of mercy, so that He might likewise fill our anxious hearts with courage for the future, is a much-needed spiritual shot in the arm for our wandering generation. But equally important are the examples of Joshua's own life, his patience under extremely trying conditions, and his undaunted faith when unexpected reversals derailed his plans and shattered his hopes. Oh yes, Joshua's life had not been easy, and he knew tragedy and discouragement firsthand. Therefore, every time you are tempted to feel sorry for yourself, and each time you are tempted to wallow in self-pity, yes, on those days when you feel that no one has it as bad as you do, then remember Joshua. This man did not experience oppression simply because of his own mistakes. Life began for him in a very harsh way. He was born into slavery. And even after he and his family were liberated, they had to wander for 40 years in the desert. And then, for years, Joshua served as Moses' appointed right-hand assistant. In our society, most people retire at the age of 65, some of them even sooner. But Joshua did not get the luxury of an early rest. At the age of 85, Joshua was called by God to lead God's people through some of the most difficult times. Joshua served as a servant of God and as a reliable leader of God's often rebellious people until his death at the age of 110. And so when Joshua told his own people to look back at the mercies of God, vivid memories glowed brightly in the minds of the older generation. Oh, they recalled how God was with them at the decisive battle against Amalek, while Moses, in the prayer of faith, held up to heaven the God-given rod. They recalled coming into Canaan, the wars and the distribution of the land. Indeed, who could forget the miraculous mercy and the hand of God as they crossed the Jordan and captured the city of Jericho? With these events in mind, can we not now better visualize an aging Joshua at Shechem speaking to the leaders of a hesitant and often fear-filled younger generation? These youthful citizens of old were like many in our generation who fear the imminent reality of worldwide war, conflict, and violence. And yet, as he spoke the words of encouragement to their fear-filled hearts, Joshua never rested his advice on the latest technology of war materiel. Instead, Joshua's primary concern was that the people would avoid all forms of idolatry and instead trust only in God. This, Joshua emphasized, is the only hope of any nation even today. And history graphically illustrates that those nations which turn to embrace worldly philosophies, ungodly cults, and other ungodly movements other than the true God, these nations have always fallen, many in a very tragic way. Can we compare aging Joshua to one of the many silver-tongued promoters of self-help philosophies of our time? No way. Joshua was no huckster driven by the greed of money in exchange for one-hour sessions filled with expressions of positive thinking. Oh, my friend, if you could speak to Joshua at this hour, and if you could share with him some of your greatest disappointments or even tragedies in your life, this man of God would understand exactly how you feel. For the metal of Joshua's faith had been hammered out by some heart-wrenching reversals in his own life. Indeed, things had not always gone the way that Joshua had planned. Like many of you today, Joshua had experienced great heartbreak and even despair. For example, When Joshua and the people had miraculously crossed the Jordan and captured the city of Jericho, he and the people were on what we call today a roll. Everything was going great. It could not have been better. But their ride on the crest of the wave of military success was soon dashed against hard rocks of reality at the Battle of Ai. And in the first Battle of Ai, Joshua's soldiers met unexpected defeat. This setback cast fear into the camp of the Israelites. Now their enemies would sense their vulnerability, and their enemies would soon take advantage of their weakness. Joshua was totally discouraged. He tore his clothes, and he fell on his face before the Ark of the Lord until the evening. The scriptures even say that he and the elders put dust all over their heads. And in his despondence, Joshua could not figure out why the Lord had permitted his soldiers to be defeated in battle. But the answer was not long in coming. The Lord soon came to Joshua and said, "Stand up." Then the Lord explained the defeat. At the previous battle of Jericho, God had directed that no soldier was to claim any of the spoils of the battle as his own. However, one of Joshua's soldiers, Achan, gave in to the temptation and took to his own tent booty of the battle. This included a beautiful mantle from Shinar, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold. This was a very, very serious transgression against God, and this, the Lord explained to Joshua, is what led to the defeat of the nation's entire army. Of course, at the direct order of the Lord, the sin of Achan was immediately purged. Achan and the silver he stole, along with the gold, the mantle, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all his belongings, all of this was taken outside of the camp. And then Achan and his family were stoned, and their bodies and all their goods were burned. This dramatic event in the life of God's people during the leadership of Joshua was not forgotten. It was indelibly imprinted on their minds. A sin had been committed, and yet, listen to this, and yet God was merciful. He did not reject, nor did he destroy his people. As a result, Joshua advised the younger generation at Shechem to look back and to see God's mercy. Is not this then, my friend, a powerful reason that Joshua's words, used as a reliable guide by people in every generation, can also serve us in the months ahead? Surely you must have plans for 1988. Surely you have dreams for yourself and your family. But always keep in mind the life and the example of Joshua. Even our best laid plans can be rapidly derailed, and we may be forced to spend time in the valleys of discouragement. But it is also during these hours of despair that we are drawn by God to stop examining ourselves, and instead, we then look back and we refocus on God and His love and His everlasting mercy. And so then, for 1988, we must look to the first Joshua for advice. And then let us also look to Jesus, the second Joshua, for help, for perfect forgiveness, and for salvation. As you begin this new year, take every step with total confidence in the cross. For in the cross of Jesus Christ, the old things of 1987 are past, and in that same cross, all things for 1988 can be new and filled with hope. You today can possess unwavering hope in the coming months. Establish yourself then, your home, yea, even your entire family, in the living Word of God. Cling tightly, my friend, to God's promises in the revealed Word. Oh yes, sing or even hum hymns to Jesus each day. Pray to the Savior every hour, and worship the blessed Redeemer every week. For this Jesus is indeed God's Word manifested in the flesh. Oh yes, go forth then with confidence, resting entirely on the words of Jesus as He says to you today, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." O Lord, today grant this promise to all those listening in this hour. Amen.